Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14-plus years on the road full-time, traveling with his wife Dana, and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
That it belongs there, even though it has nothing to do with it at all. Evolution is religion by definition, and they themselves even admit it. Check this out. This guy is an evolutionist philosopher. Look at this thing. Evolution is promoted by its practitioners as more than mere science. Evolution is promulgated as an ideology, a secular religion, a full-fledged alternative to Christianity with meaning and morality. Evolution is a religion. And it is. That's from an evolutionist even. Folks, it is a religion. It is a belief system. Random House Dictionary, religion, number one definition is a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. Do you know that is exactly what evolution is? It is a set of beliefs. Nobody was there to see anything happen billions and billions of years ago. You can only accept that by a belief-based system about this universe. That's religion, then, by definition. Again, we always hear of this creation versus evolution thing as though it is a religion versus science thing. But folks, that's not true. It is religion versus religion and science versus science. We have all of the science on our side. All of it. Why? Because God said what He did. Whatever God said is the truth of what He did. Therefore, good science will always validate what God said He did, because that's what exactly happened. And we'll see some good evidence for that here in a minute. But to be science, you must be able to observe something and test something. Do an experiment to show it to be true. That's what makes something science. Now, check this out. This Apprentice Hall General Science textbook, and the issue is plate tectonics. Continents moving around, breaking apart, and all that. We'll get to the specifics on Wednesday night. But I want to just kind of show you this section right here. Look what it says here. Believe, believe, belief. Now, wait a minute, folks. In this public school textbook, general science textbook, they use the word believe three times in four sentences. Well, I got a question. Why is it that one person's set of beliefs is called science, when another person's set of beliefs is just a religion? Folks, what they have is a belief-based system. They do not have a science-based system. It is a belief-based, which makes it religion by definition. Let me show you the seriousness of this issue, the urgency. This is a Wasserman Biology, 10th grade biology, public school textbook. In the introduction of the book, on page number 7, it says, "The understanding of this process of evolution has considerably broadened man's knowledge of biology. It has provided explanations of many puzzling events and relationships. The influence of Darwin's theory and subsequent biological discoveries have spread far beyond the field of biology. It has also changed the way man looks at himself and at his universe. It has changed his view of his relationship with other living things. To a certain extent, it has also colored his deepest religious and moral beliefs." Now, folks, I find this stuff just absolutely amazing. They are coming out and saying in the introduction of this book that the content and the context of this book is going to color your deepest religious and moral beliefs. And then they go for 400 pages for about 12 or 15 years and do just that. And we look back a couple of generations later and say, wow, I wonder what's going on here. What's gone wrong? Now, folks, this is not hard to figure out. Listen, the devil knows full well that if Genesis crumbles, Christianity will follow. You can't get around it. If the first verse of the first chapter of the first book in the Bible is incorrect or has no clear teaching, then what good is anything else that follows? It is not by accident that the devil has launched such a vigorous attack right at the foundation verse of the Bible. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You want to take out anything, folks, start at the beginning of that thing. Why would the devil let God's word take a hold and try to attack it on page 719? If you're going to try to take it out, start right where it starts, because that's the best chance you have of taking it out. And so the devil knows this full well, and he's having a field day attacking the first verse. And again, a lot of times, people, even pastors think that the creation versus evolution issue is a side issue. Folks, it's not a side issue. In church or in anything else, it is the issue in life, in everything. Because either there is a God who is who he says he is and did what he said he did, or there is not. If there's not, then nothing matters. If there is, then everything matters. Right. Folks, those two worldviews are diametrically opposed to each other, and they're fighting for souls on this planet. Look at this thing. Writing in Physics Today, this is, again, an evolutionist publication. This isn't me making it up. The issue here is the trust that teachers and books have with students. That's the context of this article in Physics Today in June 2000. Listen to this thing. And I use that trust to effectively brainwash them. Our teaching methods are primarily those of propaganda. We appeal without demonstration to evidence that supports our position. We only introduce arguments and evidence that support the currently accepted theories and omit or gloss over any evidence to the contrary. Now, folks, I find this stuff amazing. I really do, because every two, 3 weeks, somebody in the church tries to get me in a public school. And usually the conversation goes one of two ways. Okay, creation versus evolution. Is this guy going to come in and teach a Sunday school lesson? No, I can go into a public school and I don't have to take a Bible. I don't have to mention God. I don't have to quote a Bible verse. I don't have to do any of that stuff. I said, well, what's he going to talk about then? I can go into a public school and simply show evidence that says evolution is not true. And they say, we can't have that. Now, folks, this is the life we live right here in this sentence right here, this statement right here. Folks, do you realize if we are truly at the point in this country, and we are, where we are going to show our kids only one side of a coin, knowing full well there is another side, and we never even let them see that side, then we don't have education here. What we have is indoctrination at that point. And we need some folks to step up to the plate. Folks, there's a lot at stake. There really is. We have this Raven Johnson. Where'd I put it? It's over there in the corner of the table over there. A biology textbook. Look at this thing. Every chapter ends with the evolutionary viewpoint. Now, they never give anybody else's viewpoint, but it says the theory of evolution by natural selection forms the backbone of biology as a science. Now, hang on a second. The backbone of all of biology is evolution? That is amazing to me. The details of how evolution operates have been and continue to be a source of lively discussion among biologists. It's worse than lively discussion. It's outright war among biologists. They don't agree with themselves at all. But yet, folks, how can something be considered the backbone of an entire branch of science if you don't know anything about how it operates? Obviously, there's no observational evidence there, or you'd certainly know how it operates. You can't do a test, or you'd know how it operates. But look at this thing. Here's the first page in the book, chapter number one. Look what it says. Evolution is the core of the science of biology. Evolution is the core and the backbone of biology, according to these people. Now, folks, what does that mean if evolution never happened? Do you realize, according to these folks, if evolution never happened, then there's no such thing as biology? Well, now, hang on a second, folks. Biology is good stuff. Biology is good stuff, but evolution has nothing to do with it. Do you realize biology could not continue to stand if you were to remove the core and the backbone of it? So if there's no evolution, then according to these folks, there can be no biology. Well, that's just ridiculous. Folks, evolution has nothing to do with biology. Look at this thing. Even little kids, it's hard to imagine one kind of animal evolving into another kind. Half kitty cat, half dog saying meow. And this fish jumps out of the bowl and turns into a frog over here. Look what it says here. Scientists think that over millions of years, a whole new kind of plant or animal can develop from an earlier kind. Well, they can think that all they want. That makes it a belief. Now, if there was a scientific experiment to show that to be true, they would list it there. Hey, on October the 4th in 1963, the university of such and such, we did this, that, and another thing. But it is a belief-based system. That's all. It's a belief, nothing more, nothing less. But how do you have something turn into something else? Folks, that's not possible. A lot of times I get this question, in some form or fashion, did God use evolution? Didn't God use evolution? Had a guy one time came up to me, big fella, he said, well, my God is a big God. I'll never forget this. I looked at this guy and I said, whoa, you've got a big God. He said, my God could use evolution if he wanted to. And I said, wow, you really do have a big God. But it's really kind of a shame you don't have the God of the Bible. Now, this guy got mad at me now, and he's frowning at me. He says, what are you talking about? He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. And I said, wait a minute. I understand where you are coming from or you think you're coming from, but technically what you're saying, that's not right. See, first of all, the Bible says God cannot lie. All right, so let's understand that. Do you know that, again, 10 times in just the first chapter of the Bible, God says everything reproduces after his kind, after his kind, after his kind, after his kind, after his kind. Folks, do you realize you cannot have a new kind of something come up from a previous kind of something? That violates what God says is possible 10 times on just that one issue, on just the first chapter alone. You cannot get around it, folks. But the reality is, you tell kids this kind of stuff when they're in little bitty kids, you know, just elementary, and you keep repeating that lie over and over and over, they're going to fall for it. They're going to believe it. Even though the evidence is contrary to that. Cactus, they give you cactus. Tomatoes, they give you tomatoes. Cows, they give you cows. Folks, the evidence that God left behind is confirming what he said he did thousands of years ago. And it confirms the way he says it is to operate, even still today. No matter how many thousands of years go by, this creation is still going to do what God told it to do, because he's the creator, he's the boss. But that's not what they're being taught in schools. Only one of these are true. Either there was a big bang, simple life forms formed, and we're getting better and better. We are on our way toward godhood. You know, maybe some folks can arrive one day. Or the creation account is true, and this place was perfect, very good in God's eye. We'll get to that tomorrow. But sin entered the world, the fall of man, we're headed to hell if we're not saved. Folks, those lines go opposite directions of each other. To say that God would use a method that violates what he says he did is not possible. It cannot have been done that way. It simply can't. But you tell kids this kind of stuff in the first grade, and you repeat that stuff for 18 years, they grow up and believe that stuff. It is incredible. How about this one? Reptiles were also the ancestors of first mammals, which were little shrew-like creatures, little rat. And from these, all of the mammals evolved. Dogs, cats, mice, whales, horse, monkeys, apes, even human beings. They say that we came from a rat. Now, folks, anybody can believe that, but it is not science. Had a lady one time, she got upset with me. She said, well, Steve, what's your point? I mean, that's just a kid's book. Well, that is the point. Folks, do you realize they put it in kids' form for kids? They put it in adult form for adults. They put it in education form for education, even in science publications, Earth Magazine, talking about the little shrew-like creature millions of years ago and mammal evolution and the little shrew-like creature. They put it in fun form for fun at the museums and such. It's everywhere. Folks, they can repackage it and tell the story however many times they want to, however many different ways they want to, but it's still not true. See, what God says is what the truth of the issue is. The Bible says all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another beasts, another fishes, another birds. The Bible says everything is different. And folks, that is exactly what the evidence confirms. There's power there in a big way. This issue here is, especially on a secular format, whether it's a school system, a university, a radio, or whatever, the issue comes up because I try to speak the words that the Bible uses. I try to use the same words. For instance, the Bible says everything reproduces after his kind. And a lot of times, all the time, people say, well, what is a kind? Is that a species? Is that a family? Is that a, you know, what is a kind? And I say, well, it's a kind. It's, why change it? Look, you can take the apple kind, and you can take the elephant kind, and you can look at them side by side and see a difference, okay? There is a difference between an apple and an elephant, okay? It doesn't take much to see the difference there. But let me ask you a question. What is a species anyway? Now, check this out. This is rather interesting in my mind. Science News, the issue is, again, butterfly species and new ones and all that. Again, an evolutionist publication. Look what it says right here. Before plunging too deeply into the mechanisms of life, let's smash some illusions about theories of evolution. First, there's the matter of just what a species is. Believe it or not, that's still an open question among biologists. Ask most reasonably diligent high school students, and chances run high that they can tell you what a species is. Because the books are real clear about it. But you want to know the truth of it, folks? They don't have a clue. They don't know exactly where to draw those lines. 15 answers to creationist nonsense, Scientific American. We'll get to that on Tuesday night. But anyway, furthermore, recognizing a new species during a formative stage can be difficult because biologists sometimes disagree on how best to define a species. They don't know what a species is. And it's actually getting worse than that on them. How about this one? Rethinking the names of every organism on the planet is a radical step, but it might be worth the upheaval, they're saying. Now, folks, think about this. The entire classification system that has been in place and established doesn't work. Well, let me ask you a question. Why would I want to take what thus saith the Lord is and repackage it into man-made terminologies when they don't even know what their terminologies mean in the first place? Why in the world would I want to do that? Listen, it's just straightforward. We need to stay with what God says because that's where the truth of the issue is. They don't agree with themselves. They change their mind all the time. But thy word is truth, and it's forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change. It doesn't need to change. Hey, let's take a look at some science right quick. The first law of thermodynamics basically says that matter cannot be created or destroyed. Matter and energy. I understand. Also, they can convert back and forth. I understand that. But let's just deal with matter for a second and where it came from. Listen, there is a material world here. There are a lot of people that only think that we're here. You know, that's a weird concept. But listen, we are here. Now, since we're here, how did we get here? Either somebody made this place, or it made itself, or we're not really here after all. I mean, those are really the only options that you have. Now, the devil doesn't want us to believe that in the beginning God did anything, even though God told us exactly what he did, when, where, why, how, all that. The devil is attacking the first verse with this idea, this Big Bang theory concept. It is really quite amazing, but yet it doesn't make any sense anyway. Now, check this out. Look at the second law of thermodynamics. Now, by the way, these are laws of science. This is not some concept or speculation or theory or hypothesis. These are laws of science. You don't deviate from the laws there. Anyway, it says this. Basically, the second law says if you leave something alone, it's going to fall apart. If you take a stroll through your house, just take a look at things. If you own it, you notice it's falling apart. You have to wash it and wax it and sand it and scrape it and paint it and tend it and oil it and care for things, right? They fall apart. Even our own bodies, they fall apart. Think of it. The older we get, our bodies just aren't what they used to be. You know, they're falling apart. I mean, we don't have the energy as a 90-year-old to keep up with the football players in high school anymore. I mean, as you get older, your skin sort of gets a little wrinkled up and dries out a little bit, and your hair starts turning colors, and then it falls out. Well, actually, with a lot of guys, it doesn't really fall out. It just kind of moves to the eyebrows and the ears. You ever notice that? You know, but anyway. But the point is, folks, we're falling apart. Everything is falling apart. Well, that's good science, but that's also good Bible. You know, the laws of science are even in the Bible. First law is there, second law is there, Hebrews and Psalm, talking about the foundations of the earth and the heavens, they shall perish, they shall wax old, as doth a garment. The Bible says everything is winding down. Well, the evidence also confirms that. Folks, the idea that this Big Bang explosion creates a gradual molding of order out of chaos is ridiculous, even if they do want to claim it to be true. The idea that that the Big Bang could happen totally violates Scripture. Folks, it violates the laws of science. It violates common sense, which isn't really so common anymore. It violates observation. It violates everything. But yet so many people believe that it's true. Why? Because they were taught that it's true. That's why. And people don't want to accept the fact that they might have been taught something wrong, so they just grab onto it and hold it. 1 Corinthians 1, the tail end of verse number 20 says, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Folks, that's a good way to put that. You know what, folks? Much of the wisdom of this world is just foolishness. Really and truly, when you get down to it, it really is. Hey, I bet everybody in here has used a product like this at one time or another. You have a church mouse problem. You have a mouse in the house. Stuart will appreciate this. Anyway, you go to the hardware store, about $1.50, you get this little box. Everybody uses it, but nobody ever sees it close and looks at it. Look at this thing. The good stuff you give that rascal to attract him, 99.995%. The poisonous ingredient only amounts to 0.005%. Do you know that a whole lot of good and just a little bit of poison can have deadly effects? Now you think of all the attracting things. The textbooks, boy, the computer-generated graphics look like photographs. It looks real. The computer-generated images and the fossils and the replications and all the concepts and stuff in the museum displays. It looks really good, you know? I mean, that stuff it looks right. But folks, wait a minute. There's good stuff that looks like good stuff. But you know what, folks? There's a lot of poison mixed into that stuff. A whole lot more than just 0.005%, too. Folks, we need to be on guard. Look, there's a lot of poison mixed into the national parks and the state parks and the school systems and the museum systems and all that kind of stuff. Town offices and city halls and all that stuff. You know what we need? Folks who are willing to step up to the plate and help straighten out some of this mess. They say these plants and animals lived thousands and millions, even billions of years ago. And folks, that's another thing. They say everything is billions and billions of years old. Well, now, wait a second. First of all, that's not true. But look, even if everybody believes it to be true, that still doesn't make it true. That just means that people believe it to be true. That's all. Hey, let me run something by you here for a second. Let's suppose for a moment that beyond a shadow of a doubt, all good science absolutely proved and confirmed that this world's billions of years old. Now, it doesn't say that, but let's suppose it did for just a moment. Do you realize good science proves there's no such thing as a virgin birth? Do you know that good science proves that everybody in this room, you weigh too much to walk on water? You cannot do it. Do you know that good science, beyond a shadow of a doubt, proves that if you're dead, you're not going to get back up a few days later? That's for sure. Folks, do you realize even if good science proves something, if that science violates this book, that science is wrong? And that's all there is to it. Yeah. Thy word is truth. What does God say on an issue? That's the truth of the issue. It doesn't matter how it's presented otherwise. Thy word is truth. But we need to understand that and we need to hold on to that. But also, in addition to just believing that, we've got the evidence on our side. You know what, folks? The philosophy taught in schools today will become the philosophy of the next generation of leadership and government and such. And that becomes a very, very important issue. Because whatever the kids are being taught today, that's what they're going to know to teach tomorrow. You know what? Everybody is a product of what it is they know, what it is they've been taught, what it is they've learned. Everybody. If you don't know how to build an alternator, you don't know how to build an alternator. You know, you could teach yourself how to build an alternator, or somebody could teach you how to do it. And then you could do it. And then not only you could build an alternator, but you could learn it so well that you could actually teach somebody else how to do it. But until you know how to do that, you don't know it. Folks, everybody's a product of what it is they've learned. That's all. Well, if somebody never learns the truth of an issue, whether it's being born again, whether it's what is science, whether it's the history of this nation, whether it doesn't matter what the issue is. If they never hear the truth of the issue, they can never know that. So it becomes a very important issue. We need to do our part. We have a little cabin up in northern New Hampshire. And we had a little hardware store about the size of this room right here in our little community, you know, a little Podunk Hardware. And they have one of everything. I'm in there one day and getting ready to buy some masonry screws. We have a root cellar, concrete top, and I just needed some masonry screws. So anyway, I'm in this hardware store. There's about eight people in here, you know, the husband and wife that own the place and then just a handful of customers. That's it. In walks this guy. And this guy is a young adult, you know, 18 to 22, 23-year-old fella, you know, that's about his age. And he's got this demonic logo on the front of his t-shirt. It doesn't look so good. And the back, just about as bad, maybe worse. But anyway, he's got this Merlin the Magician hat, top hat looking thing on. The hair coming out from beneath the hat is gnarly, stringy. It's kind of, it's this fluorescent lime green. That's why I use that color right there around that call-out box. That's his hair. And, you know, about shoulder length. And he didn't have an earring in his ear, both ears. Not just one in each ear, full of them, solid, dozens. He's got these earring things on his eyebrows on the outside, on the inside, on both nostrils up top, and top lip over here, both sides, bottom lip, his tongue, his chin. This guy's got this stuff, jewelry and thing, hanging all over his face. And he comes walking in and he's talking and all this stuff is flopping around, you know. I mean, just try to imagine for a moment the picture. Everybody's like, watch this guy walk in. And he walks in and he says to the owner there, the husband, he says, excuse me, where's the paint section? And I'm thinking, I wonder why he wants paint. But anyway, so the husband takes him back to the paint section back there where the paint is. And I mean, everybody's just kind of watching this fella. We're just looking, you know, wow, look at this guy. Well, the wife, she's over here behind the cash register. I'm standing there getting ready to pay for these screws that I'm buying, masonry screws. And she just kind of looks real quick at the crowd. She says, like they say, I guess it takes all kinds, huh? And I said, yeah, that's what they say, whoever they are. I said, but you know something of interest? That guy is going to be a cop one day. That guy's going to be a mayor someday. That guy's going to be a school teacher one day. That guy might well be the president one day. Hey, folks, does the worldview matter in the minds of the young generation that we bring up to be tomorrow's leaders and educators? You better believe it. It matters. It matters in a big way. We were doing a seminar at a pretty good-sized church, about 450 people or so in Vermont, and I was kind of given that account. And at the halfway point, which is just a bit here, the assistant pastor of this church comes up, and he says, Steve, listen, I don't know if you've got any more green hair comments or whatever, but you know, if you do, could you tone it down just a bit? He said, well, I must have looked at him funny. He said, well, there's a guy in our church here. He looks an awful lot like that. We don't want to run him off or anything. I didn't say anything. I just figured it'd be best if I didn't talk, you know. So I just kind of walked away. And at the end of the thing, the session's over, okay? This guy, Rain is his name, he came up to me and he wrote me a thank you note after the session. And now here's the thing, folks. A lot of the people that are in that church that are supposedly concerned that I offended Rain by talking about him in the first place, they didn't come back for the rest of the meeting. Now, they're not fooling me. They're probably not even really fooling themselves. They're certainly not fooling God. They didn't want to come back, and they wanted an excuse. People have they've got God scheduled into their busy lives on Sunday morning for about an hour and a half, and then that's it. But Rain, the guy they're supposedly concerned with, he's not offended at all. He came back to every single session. And at the end, Wednesday night, when it was all over with, he didn't write me a thank you note. He wrote a thank you letter. And this guy, he said, in every session, we were just kind of sparring with him. He'd come early and he'd stay late. We're talking with him and my wife's talking with him. And he said in his note, he said, I'm just one of these lost teens you talk about so much. He says, I know I need to get saved. He's just sort of opening up to me, you know, a little bit. Anyway, at the end, Wednesday night, finally, my wife at least thought of it. She said, Rain, could we get a picture with you just so people know we're not making this stuff up? But anyway, here's the guy right here. This is Wednesday night. You know, he's got some decent clothes on. Most of the jewelry's gone, but I mean, his hair's still green. It's still the same length and all that kind of stuff. Still quite a bit of jewelry on there. But anyway, Rain, he came to every session. He didn't miss a one of them. And at the end, Wednesday night, this guy, he came up to me. I'll never forget him. He said, Steve, do you know why I am the way I am? And I said, well, Rain, I've got a pretty good idea why you are the way you are. But why don't you tell me? I don't want to just assume it and be wrong. I want you to tell me. So he said, well, I go to a place. It doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter who's in the room. Doesn't matter what's going on. When I walk in, I've got everybody's attention. He said, I kind of like that. And I thought, well, that's pretty close to what I was thinking. Anyway, this guy said, you know what I appreciate about you folks? I said, no, what do you appreciate about us? He said, you tell the truth. Wow, that stood out? It's like it's an odd thing? Folks, you know what a guy like that needs more than anything in the world? The truth. You know what that cop's sitting there watching, just looking for somebody not wearing a seatbelt? You know what he needs more than anything in the world? The truth. You know what that school teacher needs? Nice lady. Boy, she's been in the school system since before the school system was there. Been there forever. You know what she needs more than anything in the world? The truth. You know what people sitting by the millions in churches every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, you know what they need more than anything in the world? The truth. See, thy word is truth. For some reason, we've been convinced in our Americanized Christianity that we need to water down the truth or, you know, somehow make it palatable to people. Well, God didn't do that. He said, here it is. There are some consequences of people that did what I said to do. There are consequences of people that did what I said not to do. God didn't water it down. He laid it out straightforward. Here's the truth. What are you going to do about it? You have decisions to make now. There are consequences to our decisions. Folks, we just need to give folks the truth. That's the bottom line.
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.